Our guest today on Class Eclectic has a discography of 30 albums and many Grammy Awards that come along with those recordings. She's also the founder of the guitar studio at the Juilliard School of Music, and she's been performing for many times, up to 100 performances each season. Our guest today on Class Eclectic is Sharon Isbin, guitarist. She has a new recording, first collaboration on disc, with the Pacifica Quartet with a new album, Souvenirs of Spain and Italy. Welcome to the airwaves, Sharon Isbin.
Thank you so much. Great to talk with you.
And great to have you on the line as well. So there's an album of a collection of different works from back in the classical realm and also the 20th century that include the sounds of the guitar and the string quartet coming together. Sharon, you have a relationship with the Pacifica Quartet. You've performed with them before. How did this process for this new recording come about?
It actually began in 2016 when I invited them to join me in my annual recital at the Aspen Music Festival, where I direct the guitar department. And we really hit it off. I think that they are one of the greatest quartets on the planet. They're extraordinary in their expression emotionally of the music, their virtuosity, and just their sense of nuance and creativity. We're such souls in sync with each other. It's like a love fest. So when they, after this concert, asked if I would tour with them, I said, absolutely. And then last year, since we've been performing together a number of times since 2016, they said, would you like to make a recording with us? And I was thrilled. They invited me to join them on the label that they record with, Sedil Records out of Chicago. We went into the beautiful hall at Indiana University, where their quartet in residence, in January of 2019, and recorded Souvenirs of Spain and Italy. Four composers, Boccherini, Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, Joaquin Turina, and Vivaldi. So we're really thrilled about the album.
And those are some wonderful composers and wonderful riches of compositions to pull from for this recording. A lot of these pieces come from either the Baroque period or from the 20th century or somewhere in between. How is the repertoire picked for this occasion and especially for an arrangement of quartet and guitar?
In the case of the Mario Castelnuovo Tedesco, this is a work that is rarely heard, rarely performed, and recorded partly because it's so difficult and demanding of each instrument. It's like a concerto for each of us. And putting it together is such a gratifying experience because it's magnificent music. He wrote it for Segovia in 1950. In fact, Tedesco himself was super thrilled about it. He called it the best piece of chamber music that he's ever written. So he gave it his own sanction. And for us to be able to do this and having performed it in advance of recording was very important. There's so much to discover in it. In fact, Tedesco himself, I'm using the shorthand version, it's really Castelnuovo Tedesco, his family originated from Spain and was forced to flee the Grand Inquisition in 1492. They fled to Italy. And then Tedesco himself was born there, grew up, and then was forced to flee with his family in the late 30s from the Nazis and came to take refuge in the United States, settling in California, and continued writing for Segovia at that point. I was really so stunned and amazed to be able to have the opportunity to meet his granddaughter, Diana Castelnuovo Tedesco, who turns out to live only a few blocks from me in New York City. And she,
oh, wow.
Yeah, she was a very important part of this process because she gave it, for me, a very personal connection. She told me fantastic stories about her grandfather and shared some books in Italian about him with me. And most importantly, gave us the manuscript in Mario's own handwriting of this particular quintet, which we could then all consult at any point in the process daily, which we did, certainly I did, for the notes, the phrasing, and I just felt like he was there with us. It was a very beautiful and special experience to be feeling like I was almost part of the family at this point, and it inspired my playing of this piece in a very unusual way.
So not only a souvenir, but also a treasure to have that opportunity to perform that and then record that as well. And that's a challenging work, but then the next work after that, if we're kind of going in order here, is the Antonio Vivaldi Concerto in D major. And this is an arrangement for guitar and string trio. How was it performing this work compared to the Castelnuovo Tedesco work?
Well, it was arranged by a Spanish composer, Emilio Pujol, for this combination, and he actually added the viola part and gave the guitar the prominent part where the lute had really been doubling the violin before. So this is a work that gives me an opportunity to do a lot of expression of Baroque performance embellishments in the slow movements of my own making in the repeats, and having studied, of course, 10 years with the great Bach scholar and keyboard artist Rosalind Turek, this was another way of exploring that kind of interpretation that I did with Turek, with Bach, now being able to do this with Vivaldi. And it's such a lyrical piece and so expressive, and adding the embellishment just brings it into another realm. And I use different colors on the instrument to explore the structure and the phrasing and the beauty of it. So all of that is something that becomes even more intimate. I'm doing it with three string players than it is when I do with string orchestra, which I also love playing. So it's another experience, and one that gives a different time period to this recording. And it's a great bridge, because in the Boccherini, you have the two earlier movements, first and second, which are actually ones that Boccherini plucked from a different quintet, and then the Fandango movement is of its own a work of magic.
Yeah, and that's got a lot of dance influence there as well. It sounds like the Boccherini piece has such variety in and of itself, but then to be paired, to be placed along with these other grand works too, there's certainly a lot of variety to be had from this recording. And with that, kind of taking the Vivaldi going from about 1730, going ahead about 200 years to the Joaquin Turina, a little bit later on, that's got a bit of a matador feel, a little bit more of a respite, a bit of a prayer feeling. What was the experience in working on that piece that was, I believe, originally for lute quartet?
Yes. Well, actually, I didn't get to play that one. That was one that Turina arranged from his original lute version to before string quartet by itself. So there's no guitar involved in that, but it captures that essence so beautifully. And is a wonderful bridge to the Boccherini. I don't know if you're familiar with a famous quote from Casanova, but when he first saw the Fandango dance in Madrid, this was around 1767, it blew his mind. And he said, this is the actual quote of Casanova, he said, "Each couple, man and woman, taking no more than three steps at a time and clicking castanets to the sound of the orchestra, make 1,000 gestures, take 1,000 attitudes, with a lasciviousness with which nothing can compare. This dance is the expression of love from beginning to end, from the sigh of desire to the ecstasy of enjoyment." And I certainly hope your listeners are going to hear that in our rendition of the Fandango. And in fact, we invited a wonderful castanet and tambourine player from Brazil, Eduardo Leandro, to join us and improvise the castanets and tambourine in this particular movement. So it gives the real flavor that I think both Casanova and Boccherini would have loved.
Yeah, absolutely. Really adding the texture and nuance to the dance and make it even all that more authentic. And again, in this Souvenirs of Spain and Italy, taking you all over the world and with all different kinds of sounds from the great composers of Castelnuovo Tedesco, Vivaldi, Turina, and Boccherini. And just a reminder, we're speaking with Sharon Isbin. She's the guitarist on this album in collaboration with the Pacifica Quartet, Souvenirs of Spain and Italy. Is there anything else that you'd like to add about either of these four pieces or about the process of working with the Pacifica Quartet in terms of the recording process or even in the performances you've had in the past?
Well, they're masters of spontaneity, and that really speaks to my heart as well. So that every time we do a concert, it's a new experience, and it's a sense of discovery. And the same thing really held true with recording and having performed it already a number of times, this beautiful music, it made that possible. And I have to credit Sadil with wonderful engineering and production, Judy Sherman, and Bill Malone, who was the engineer for this project, in giving us the freedom and the opportunity to make this magic happen.
And again, we've been speaking with Sharon Isbin. More information about her performances at sharonisbin.com. And you can also look up Souvenirs of Spain and Italy. Again, this is a program that spotlights Italian-born composers influenced by Spanish idioms, as well as the dance and music of the Baroque period, and all of those good things coming together in this newer recording with Sharon Isbin and the Pacifica Quartet. Thank you so much for taking the time, Sharon.
Thanks. It's a real pleasure to talk with you, Kurt.